I would say don't buy these beers. Every time I drink one, it's worse and worse. I think it's slowly eroding my stomach lining.
What's brewing, everybody? Oh, that was nice. That was not planned at all, but that was well done, gentlemen. This is the Bruins and Bruins podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Diehards and Pride Diehards. Sorry, Oliver. It's been a tough week or two. But regardless, episode 37, the big one of season 4. We should have cut all of our seasons off at episode 37 and just been like, see you next season. Regardless, I'm Cam Hasbrook, Drew Johnson, Chris Gear. We got the whole squad here, and I've said regardless twice already, so now three times. I'm going to pass it on to somebody. I actually don't have a beer. In case this is your first time, it's Brews and Bruins. The Brews come first, then.
And Cam's been fired. All right, Chris.
That's also relatively common. I don't have beer. I got a soccer game coming up, so.
You got a Hannaford seltzer.
I got a seltzer, yeah. It's cranberry lime. It's good.
Hannaford brand. Hannaford actually has some good.
Yeah, dude, you can get a 12-pack of seltzer for like $2.
Their ginger ale is really good.
Ginger ale is really good, period. But what you drinking over there, Drew? Mr. Big Boss guy.
I got the same thing I've had the past couple episodes. The Green State lager from Zero Gravity Brewing out in Vermont. I've already given the ratings before, so I won't bother again, but I do recommend this beer. Very smooth, feels really light, but there's a nice taste to it. Only 4.9%, so you can have a few. Recommend it if you see it at your local alcohol beverage store, liquor store. I was looking for it.
Packy, right?
Packy.
I learned that term from
the
you,
fucking
buddy.
Packy.
Drew, by the way, I was thinking of you, buddy, because I saw Portland's, there's a new, actually, it's right in East Bayside coming. There's a new completely gluten-free brewery being started up there. So,
yeah, they
right
finally,
around the corner from you.
They finally heard I live here. And
they're like, let's go earn ourselves that sponsorship.
I can't wait to be at the ribbon cutting. And oh, did it already open?
No, I don't think so. I think it's like, you know, under.
Yeah, so I can't wait to be at the ribbon cutting. it's gonna be great. No, I'm actually looking forward to that because there are some out there. I've never really found one local. There are some local breweries that will also brew gluten-free beer, but nothing like dedicated to it in the area. So as far as I know,
we should like go show up to the ribbon cutting and just like do a live podcast there without being invited.
What's
just,
up? Like,
right
we'll
next
do it like it's
cutting.
Like a news broadcast. Yeah. Like I'll have a camera. You'll be out there like in a suit, like
just absolutely just interrupting whatever ceremonies they have going on. That would be a good way to boost some relations, but. Chris, is that another spicy beer over there? Oh, I guess, Drew, did you?
No, I'm not rating it, just recommending it.
All right.
This is the last.
The final.
The spicy beer.
Oh, no. Okay. They've lasted a while, which, to be fair, spicy beers probably should. So.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been having that many beers, so I think the last time I had a beer was on this podcast, and the last time I was on this podcast was like a couple weeks ago, so
welcome back.
Really nice podcast. To just like have a beer. It feels good.
It's a good thing. Beer, hockey, what more could you want? You know,
it feels good to have a beer. You heard it here, folks.
This is the first, folks. Mango y chile chelada from Modelo. I think this is like weirdly the worst of them. It like doesn't really taste like mango. It just kind of. I guess it's just like a little sweet and a little fruity. And it makes your tummy feel bad. I would say don't buy these beers. Every time I drink one, it's worse and worse. I think it's slowly eroding my stomach lining.
We gotta make a list and put it online somewhere. It's a Brews at Bruins do not buy this beer list.
Yeah. These guys don't like it.
White pumpkin ale, Modelo spicy beer.
Like the flavor of these beers is totally fine. It's just like, it doesn't taste spicy. It just like the spice hits you like in your esophagus. Mm. And not like a, it's not super spicy. It just feels like you got a little acid reflux. It's not great.
It's a wonderful reveal.
Well, it's only clear. We're doing good.
Yeah, it's great stuff. We are recording this second intermission of currently 3-2 game against the good old Canadiens de Montreal. Shouts to our friend DF Pendris in the building. Neutral. I think the only person that we know that could legitimately claim, and I believe them as a neutral at that at that game. We're just gonna leave it there. I still don't. I get it. I get it. We've had it explained to us. They explained it to us. I still don't really get it. It's all right. Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Shouts to DF. I won't shame anybody for liking the hockey teams that they like. That's what I'll say. It's confusing, but
except for Leafs fans.
Yeah, no, Leafs fans deserve
the
shame.
Leafs fans.
Drew the biggest Leafs fan I know.
Yeah, well, that's probably why that guy at the game came up to us, Drew, the Leafs fan from Saskatchewan.
Yeah,
he probably knew he was like, oh, that guy's one of us.
Did we mention Brews and Bruins too? Didn't we?
Well, I was wearing the sweatsheart, so I think so. Yeah,
maybe he's out there. Maybe he's out there listening. Hey kid, if you're listening,
there's no way, dude. He was.
I hope he's alive.
I
hope he made it home.
No shot he made it. He didn't make it to the train, let alone back to Saskatchewan. Man,
he probably didn't even make it to the game.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, what do we got?
We were going to talk a little seventh player award, the most important award besides the sixth ahead of them.
Only the Vezina.
Who do we? Yeah, I don't know. We talked a little bit about it, I think, like a month ago. But let's kind of dive back in because when is it being announced? I feel like it's always like one of the last games of the season,
last home game of the season, usually, or one of the last home games of the season.
So he probably got a week, maybe. Something like that. 2 weeks. When's the last home game of the season? Man, we're getting into April here almost. This is crazy. I kind of losing track of time, but.
Whoa, time flies, man.
Yeah.
You're having fun.
We're coming in on it. I know some earlier names that we threw around. I'm curious to see if it's changed since then. So right now, maybe you want to all start by giving our top choice for the seventh player award, and then we can maybe throw in some honorable mentions, make an argument for those guys.
I do look
stuff.
At all the nominees really quick, but yeah, I know
throw,
most
throw
of them.
Throw out the nominees.
I need to get the full list.
I think last time I threw out Trent Frederick, and I know Colin threw out Nick Foligno as like a potential guy. I think, you know, shouts to Trent Frederick. He's been okay. But kind of had like a little fall off. So I think he might be out of the running there. And then Foligno's injury probably takes him out as well.
So the list is Nick Foligno, Trent Frederick, AJ Greer, Pavel Zacha, Connor Clifton, Brandon Carlo, and Derek Forbort.
I know who I'm going with out of that. And I think anyone who knows me knows who I'm going with out of that.
I do too. And I feel AJ like I also Greer. Know who Drew's going with, so maybe I'll just pick somebody else for good measure. So, Chris, why don't you start us off by telling us why you believe Pavel Zacha should be the seventh player award winner?
Pavel Zacha is the second coming of David Krejci, and I think he is going to be a big reason why the Bruins don't suck next year. And he's a big reason why the Bruins are excellent this year. I mean, dude's ripping it up. He's kind of found a spot in the lineup. I mean, he's up on that second line left wing, but he still moves up and down when he needs to, when they're shaking up the lines. And guy's just been on a tear. I think he's really good. I think one of the big things that Devils fans warned us against when we traded for him was this guy. He can't shoot at all. Like, he's got all the skill in the world, but he can't shoot. And I think early on we saw him miss a couple of wide open nets and we got that little uh-oh feeling. And then he just started hitting shots.
Like a lot of them.
Just fucking screaming top corners past Connor Hellebuck. And I mean, also dishing the puck out. Like, he's a big reason why David Pastrnak has almost 50 goals right now. Hell yeah. I mean, if you look at the underlying numbers, David Krejci hasn't been fantastic this year. I mean, he's been a good point producer, and I mean, he does a lot to make sure the Bruins have the puck, which is always good. And I mean, that's a huge benefit for Pastrnak, but I think Pavel Zacha does a lot on that second line to make sure that the Bruins are scoring.
That month of February was huge. He scored October 9 games, played 1 goal. November 13 games, 2 goals. December 14 games, 2 goals. January 14 games, 4 goals. February only 10 games, potted 6 and added 2 assists in that span, and then another 3 so far in March. So
sick.
Love to see it. If I hadn't seen him and David Krejci in the same building at the same time, it would make you ask some questions. But yeah. I think realistically that I'm probably going to toss my hat in the all seriousness in the Pavel Zacha ring. But while Drew mulls over his answer of Connor Clifton, I'm going to try to find somebody else as well. So Drew, tell us about your love for Connor.
I'm going to say, like, off the bat, I really think Pavel Zacha will win it. And I would have voted for him, but I just voted for Connor Clifton just because I want him to win it. Also, because Connor Clifton has stepped up this season. He was kind of that seventh defenseman guy, and he's carved out a starting role on the team. And it's because the Jim Montgomery activate the D, that's exactly his style. He's a two-way guy. He's like a Matt Grizzlick or Tory Krug, but they has just like this chip on his shoulder and just isn't as like good, but it's like more feisty, you know, like the Tory Krug helmetless hit. Imagine Connor Clifton doing that. He totally would in the same situation. So yeah, I mean, that would be great, but realistically I think Zacha Forbort, a lot of people have talked about too. I mean, he's been great on the PK. He has,
and that is
exceeded my expectations, I suppose. I mean, he's 30 steps ahead of John Moore, but no, not my guy. Brandon Carlo, kind of similar situation, really just hasn't. He actually maybe taken a step back, in my opinion. Frederick, ooh, step
hard
forward.
Disagree.
Like in some regards, like, I don't know. I just,
Brandon Carlo's been one of the best defensive defensemen in the league.
Defensively, yeah. But he's all like, he's maybe the stats have it supported, but he's always been strong defensively. He has. And
no, he had a really bad defensive year a couple of years ago. I think he was struggling with some injuries. And then last year, he kind of picked it up a little bit. And this year, he's back to like when the Bruins were like, oh, this is our Dennis Seidenberg.
Yeah. I mean, I think, he's the fulcrum, right? Like, he's there. He's that. That's his role on the defense. He's like just this defenseman guy. But he hasn't, like, he's not seventh player award worthy, in my opinion. He hasn't exceeded expectations that much. AJ Greer, other than Zacha, is really the only guy I would see. I mean, Foligno might as well, just for the different roles he's played. But
AJ Greer's been like fun to watch more than he's been good. Like, mm-hmm. I think he's. His biggest highlight reels are like goals he almost scored. And he plays a really good defensive game. I think he's just a solid fourth liner. But aside from those couple goals he scored like in the beginning of the season, hasn't really been an actual difference maker offensively. As much as he's been like kind of a guy where you go, wow, I didn't know he could make that move, but didn't really amount to anything.
Yeah, he was the guy who came over with Zacha, right? Or no,
maybe, I don't know.
He was a Devil.
Okay, maybe
he was drafted by Colorado and then went to the Devils.
In my head, he was just a guy that like came up from the AHL. So
I mean, he probably was in Providence immediately after this. You know, like, this guy, or maybe he wasn't involved at all. But either way, he came out of nowhere, and that's why I think it's like, consideration. But Zacha's my answer. Cam, have you been mulling over?
Yeah, you know, I actually am happy because you went through everybody except for the two guys that I was going to mention that I feel like Bruins fans might actually go for. So first of all, I'm going to preface this by saying I feel like the seventh player award is like a big time like dad award. Like, I feel like a lot of dads are voting, not a lot of like Western Mass and like New Hampshire dads, you know, like want to see like the big tough Bruins leadership and all that good stuff. So I feel like despite the injury, maybe even because of the injury, a little bit of pity mixed involved there. I feel like Nick Foligno might have a shot at winning this as a guy who I think a lot of players or a lot of people wanted off the team last year. Like we talked to Tommy last week and Tommy was talking about how he, you know, wanted Foligno gone last year and has been really impressed with him this season. I could see a lot of people kind of carrying that. Plus the, you know, I think it's very obvious the leadership role he's had. I think people might consider that, like even stepping in on the goalie hugs might win him a few votes. So I can see maybe Bruins fans like, you know, identifying with his playing style and the leadership roles of doing it. I also could see them jumping on the Trent Frederick bandwagon because, I mean, the Bruins fans as a whole are usually pretty horned up about someone who likes to throw the body and fists around. He's doubled his goal total this year, only 16, which, you know, I think is decent for somebody like him. But considering he had 8 last season, that's a pretty good jump. He's got a couple more assists, but, you know, overall 10 more points. He's a plus 26, too. I know Bruins fans like to get a little plus minus going up there with our plus minus St. Patrice Bergeron, of course. But that's more than doubled since last season as well. So statistically, the argument I think you can make is there. And, you know, like I said, it's his playing style, I think, is a lot of what Bruins fans for a fan voted award are looking for. But that being said, I do think it probably should be Zacha. I wouldn't be that surprised if it were somebody like Frederick, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or Foligno.
I think momentum is on the side of Zacha here. Just a little house cleaning. AJ Greer was signed to a free agent contract. And Pavel Zacha and Holla were straight up one for one. And while I was looking for this, I found a very interesting quote from Mark Recchi, who obviously used to work for the Devils and
needs to come on the podcast.
Won a Stanley Cup with the Bruins. About Pavel Zacha, said he's a great kid. I mean, just a great kid and a great teammate. As for him as a player, well, I think there's a ton of skill there once he can figure out how to use it on a consistent basis. I mean, talent-wise, Donnie got a steal here. Talent-wise, he's way better than Holla, and he's got the skill, just a big body. When he uses that body, he's hard to take the puck away from. I feel like that's weirdly candid for a guy in the hockey world to say, like, this guy is way better than this other
the other guy. And criticizing GM's the fact. I mean, I guess he technically praised Don Sweeney, but like in the process, like, yeah.
I think that was a little bit prescient because, I mean, he has unlocked, he only had 36 points in 70 games last year. I mean, that's like fine. That's half a point per game, but this year he's just been another level.
I think the great thing about that deal was that the downside of Zacha is basically Holla, like what Holla was doing. And like he was like just so young and when he was drafted had all this potential that he really didn't come to in New Jersey. But he is hitting that stride that I think when he was drafted, the Devils were hoping he could hit, you know? So it's great to see he's doing that with Boston. Sorry, Devils fans, I guess. I don't know. The Devils are a team that, like, I don't really feel any sympathy towards, but I also don't have, like, an issue necessarily with them. So I'm just like,
I have a little bit of an issue with them just because they are in New Jersey. However, I will respect that they're the one franchise that doesn't admit that they are in New Jersey. At least they're honest about it. And we had that one crossover episode with the Devils pod and THPN and
He still retweets all our stuff. The Devil's State of Mind or the Devil's the Devil's State of Mind.
The Neil Villapiano.
That's
our guy.
He's the Devil's Advocate, right? Was his app or something?
No, I think that was the name of another podcast episode.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I thought that we had him on.
Okay. Speaking of having it on, do you have any money on the biggest tournament in college basketball, which is underway? And the action is actually just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in free bonus bets if your team wins, plus combine multiple bets for a shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings will be featuring parlays and odds boosts all tournament long, so be sure to check the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day to see what they have in store. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with promo code THPM. Right now, new customers can bet $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. That's THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Nice. Guess, you guys done any tournament watching? I know.
Yeah, the college hockey tournament, right? A? No?
Yeah, B, no, baby.
I was proud of my Maryland Terrapins falling to the number one team in the country, who we won't mention because, you know, storylines there. Look it up if you've got the internet. But I am actually headed – we'll have to get a Bruising News or Bruising Burns scouting report. Maybe we'll work it into a special edition Bruising News. We'll have to reach out to Sean. But we're heading to Manchester, New Hampshire this weekend for the Manchester Regional Final between Cornell and BU. It's going to be after a couple games today. So.
Nice. Yeah, my San Diego State Aztecs are in the Sweet 16. They get kind
of – I was rooting for them.
They got kind of an easier path because they, I think it was the Furman upset was next to them. Mm-hmm. That was probably the most fun game of the tournament, the Furman Virginia game.
Yeah,
I mean the Fairleigh Dickinson one was pretty fun as well.
One was just so bizarre because of the situation of, like, they didn't even win their conference. Merrimack did and just wasn't allowed to go. So it's not only was it, like, the 16 seed beating the 1 seed, but it was the 16 seed beating the 1 seed and they weren't
even supposed to be. Sorry, that was Purdue, not Virginia. Seed. I was getting my my upset teams mixed up. Virginia was the one who lost to UMBC a few years ago, and then they lost to Furman this year. Shouts to them. Tough time.
Wait, did they win a natty in between that, or am I making that
They
up?
Did. They won the next did, year.
Right? I feel like that didn't really, I don't know. Does that make up for it? I guess, for Virginia.
Well, that's the thing. So when Villanova beat UNC on that dagger final shot in 2016, I was just like, oh, this is the end of UNC as a basketball. Like, I didn't actually believe that. I was just like, you know, this is the...
Yeah.
Like most demoralizing thing that can happen to a program, and then they won a national championship next year, and like nothing matters.
Yeah, that's kind of the grand theme of sports is that nothing matters.
Speaking of Villanova, not in the men's tournament, but they have like one of the greatest college players in the history of women's basketball on their women's team, Maddie Segrist, who I broke like a ton of collegiate records this year, and is projected to be like a top five pick in the WNBA draft. They're a 4 seed, and I'm hoping they make a deep run. In my women's bracket, I have them losing to, I think, South Carolina because I am not silly.
That shit's crazy. I was on 538s. They have like the odds tables and stuff, and they just had South Carolina with like a 64% chance to just win the national championship before the 64 team tournament started. I was like, oh my god, this is so dumb. Like. It's just crazy. It shows you the dominance.
Yeah, I think the Bruins are the highest odds I've seen in the modern era for like a team to win the Stanley Cup, and that's like what, a 16 team tournament of like 7 game series.
Yeah,
and that you got a team in a 64 team tournament,
single elimination,
winner takes all. Yeah, that's absolutely insane.
A tournament that's designed to screw over teams essentially that are good. And they're still just that, yeah. Also, though, shouts to our Maryland women's team as well. 2 seed, not to one-up you. Taking on Notre Dame, that's going to be a good 2-3 matchup later. I think it's Saturday, so
yeah.
Shout out my Turks as well. But, yeah, any other hockey stuff? I've been checking
out in a while. Yeah, I got a couple things here. Searched hashtag NHL Bruins and just thought I'd read some tweets that came up.
All right. All right, so Drew is now fired. We're gonna
shop here, but we should do some more house cleaning. I mean, obviously the Pride lost. That sucked. That was 2 game sweep at the hands of I would call them the rival Whitecaps now.
I think at this point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They face each other every playoffs and have some pretty, I wouldn't say animosity, I would just say like healthy respect for one another. And I'm I'm long past sick of watching Amanda Levier just stonewall the Boston Pride, but you know, good for her. She's fun. Sucked to see two dominant players for the Pride, who top two contenders for the MVP of the league, I guess not really play as well as they had been playing in the regular season. Lauren Gable, I mean, she scored, so cool, but you know, it's tough to see Corinne Schroeder, who basically didn't give up a goal all season, give up a bunch of goals to the Whitecaps. But interested to see who wins the MVP. That's a fun conversation for later, I guess.
No, we'll have to have Oliver back on and do a recap.
That when Cam removed me from the stream or whatever, it like broke my like computer somehow. Like it just like everything.
Now I'm the asshole, you know. Yeah. I get fired every week, but it's fine. I was like,
I was like, I don't know what to do here. So here I am, rock you like a hurricane on my phone.
Yep, and 13 minutes left in the Bruins Habs game, still up 3-2. So by the time you're listening to this, the Bruins have won 7-2.
That's exactly what I was going to say, 7-2. So that's great. We'll manifest it. Till next time, Chris is going to have to zoom in from the hospital when the thing gives him ulcers from drinking too many spicy things.
Hell yeah. But
that'll be a good episode. Be some fresh content. Follow us on the things at Bruins and Bruins. Email us at bruinsandbruins@gmail.com. Check out our website, bruinsandbruins.com.